Hello there. Are you ready to hear tales of the paranormal, weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy? If the answer is yes, then welcome to your worst nightmare. But be warned, there's no turning back. Now here are Todd, Sean, and Nate, and they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hey, creepies, welcome to episode number 63. Nate is your sound engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. Gentlemen, what's going on?
Not too much. What's going on with you guys?
Just recording, you know, doing our thing.
Just recording.
Hanging out.
Hanging out, doing
having
our
good
thing.
Time.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as just recording, right?
Oh, we just record, you know?
Oh, my gosh.
We're to the point where just, yeah, you're right.
So you need us to just change into monotone and just, we'll just deliver like this.
Read the encyclopedia. Yeah.
You know,
page one, letter A.
Yeah, we. You're right. We're not just recording.
I'm just teasing.
No, it's always a good time to get together. Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun. It's a good healing night for all of us, right?
It is
healing, just like our saliva, like we talked about the last one.
My last stat.
That was my made up stat. Remember?
Oh yeah.
Unless somebody can prove me correct.
Yeah. How? Yeah. This healing power. Unlike. We still got to look into that.
Absolutely.
Not quite sure how that
Google
works,
worthy.
Who knows? I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised. But you guys doing okay, though?
Yeah.
Saliva, the nectar of Neosporin.
Whoa.
Wow.
Dropping some knowledge on you.
I guess. Mm-hmm. Man.
Boom. Yeah.
It's heavy.
Let's pace ourselves, Nate.
Good job, Nate.
Wow. hold on to your seats, everybody.
One word. Hedgehogs.
Oh, man.
Woo. That was something else. Hello, that'll grab you.
It's one for the history books, right?
Yeah. I don't know what the weather's going to be like by the time our creepies listen to it, but it's still hot. So
yeah. Maybe it'll be springish by then, right?
Yeah, it'll probably be back down spring. To the 50s. Mm. And then who knows? I mean, it's still
it's Indiana.
It's still not quite mid-May, so we could get a snowstorm.
Welcome to the Midwest, right?
we get snow flurries on the
wake up to winter and go to bed in the middle of summer, right?
Yeah, that's true.
They had tornadoes down at Rachel's grandparents.
Oh,
in Kentucky.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yep. I've seen two videos, no more than, I don't know, a mile from her grandparents.
You showed us that video. You were at
funnel clouds and stuff.
And
yeah,
creepy.
It was last Friday.
The guy getting out of his truck, like, this is amazing. Like, drive! Get away from it.
Double rainbow.
as it rips through his house.
Exactly.
Yeah. Pretty rip.
He didn't seem scared at all. He was just like mesmerized, but interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It's brave.
That is scary. Yeah.
It is, really.
It's wild. Oh, yeah. It's going to be like that for a while. We want to thank the creepies for joining us once again, listening to us guys.
Yep.
Yap about creepy stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So thank you, creepies. So I want to give a shout out.
I like shout outs.
You like shout outs?
I do.
Shout it.
I should have had that. We should have had
there's
that.
There's a great band that sings that.
It's my favorite band of all time.
I just made that up.
Yeah, give us a kiss.
We got to make a song.
Give us a kiss.
This shout out is to Heather Gorgas, and she works in my wife's school district. So,
shout
Heather, thank
Heather,
you
yeah.
for listening. She is a loyal listener, and
it's a cool
she loves
name.
This creepy stuff. Yeah.
I like that.
Heather or Gorgas?
Both.
Both.
Well, my sister's name's Heather, so of course I like Heather. But
Sure. Yeah.
Gorgas is
my
cool.
niece is Heather.
So. Gorgas is not a name that you'd hear every day.
Gorgas Maximus.
Gorgas Maximus. So thank you, Heather, very, very much for your support and listening to us. And,
we appreciate it
very
much.
I'm going to give you a shout out. Yeah, so now it is time for my Todd's Tat Stat of the show. What do you think?
It needs music, I'm telling you. There you go.
Needs something. Okay. Here we go. Americans spend more than $72 billion on their pets annually.
Whoa.
$72 billion annually on their pets.
Did you say Americans?
I believe it.
I did. Americans.
Wow. I'm just kind of blown away by that. I'm not actually that.
You won't even believe how much we spend on our dog.
Yeah, Sam.
You're probably, $30 billion of that?
On GasX? <Yeah. laughs> It's just not working.
Wow.
Yeah. I actually, when I saw that, I wasn't surprised. I mean,
I'm not surprised, but that's a big number.
It is a big number.
You know?
$72 billion. Just, and that's just Americans. I mean, you know, so there you go.
That's wild.
That is my Todd's tat stat of the show. So.
Oh, it doesn't need outro music, right? Okay.
No. Now I'm going to send it back to you.
You want
to
send it back to me for the first part of the announcements? Well, then that means we have to start on how to follow us. You can follow us on social media of all kinds, on Facebook and Instagram, Middle Age and Creeped Out, at TikTok, at Mako Podcast, right? And that's two A's. And at Twitter is also Middle Age and Creeped Out. So come and find us. Come hang out with us on those groups. We, of course, are having fun. We are also raising awareness with mental health because we all need it out there. The three of us need it, our families need it, friends, and all you creepies. Everybody's in need at one point in their life or another. Sometimes it's a day-by-day, let's say, struggle, right?
And it's okay to be that.
It is absolutely okay.
Right? Or hour by hour, yeah, as that's I true. Have sometimes.
Yeah, that's right. Some days are like that, right? Yep. But we always like to give out the substance abuse and mental health hotline. That first one is 1-800-662-4357. We also would like to give out the suicide veterans and bullying hotline, which is 1-800-273-8255, or text hashtag 838255. There's also a bullying website, which is stopbullying.gov.
And I want to remind that it is the month of May, which is Mental Health Awareness Month.
I appreciate you reminding that. That's
no
good.
No problem.
Good job.
Good job. Thank you.
Good job, everybody, right?
Want everybody to be healthy mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually.
Yeah.
Take care of yourselves. Be your best advocate, because that's what it really comes down to.
That's true.
So thank you, sir, for that.
No problem at all.
We want to play a promo. We have an official promo for the live show.
Awesome.
Coming up in July here in Indy. So listen to this. Check it out.
Tracy, we are so excited for our upcoming live event in Indianapolis with Tragedy of Cinema and Middle Aged and Creeped Out.
Yes, we're looking forward to seeing all of you.
I'm Todd.
I'm Nate.
And I'm Sean. And we are Middle Aged and Creeped Out.
We are looking forward to sharing some creepy stories with all of our hometown listeners.
I'm Jimbo with the Tragedy of Cinema.
And I'm Kyle, also with Tragedy of Cinema.
Indy is also our hometown, and we have the perfect horror movie to break down for you guys.
Come out and see us on Saturday, July 16th at the VFW on South Lockburn and help veterans at the same time.
All three shows are clean, so this is a family-friendly event. Tickets are just $20. Seating is limited, so get your tickets now at hillbillyhorrorstories.com.
So there you go, the Indy promo. It's coming up a couple of months away.
It makes it feel real, too, doesn't it?
I know.
It really? Does,
yeah. Jerry did a good job putting it all together. So
get those tickets. Go get you some, right?
Get those tickets. $20. It'll be the best ticket you can buy.
Oh, yeah.
Guaranteed fun.
Yep. A night of, I'd say, frivolity, but I don't even know what that means. So how about fun?
Let's keep it simple.
Keep it simple.
We say keep it creepy. Keep it simple.
Keep it simple, Shawnee.
But yeah. So anyway, yeah. Go. Go get some tickets. So what do you got, Sean? You have something you wanted to share.
I do. And okay, so I work with a girl named Michelle. She's a physical therapist.
Hi, Michelle.
At the hospital. Hi, Michelle.
Is she a listener?
Sometimes I think she's listened to us some, yeah. Well, right. She's listened for her name, so here we go. Like
okay.
I'm giving, no, I'm kidding.
Thank you, Michelle, for listening whenever you do.
So she likes podcasts, so I mean, we're a podcast.
And you
so
said you work with her?
I do work with
my
her.
My prayers to you, Michelle.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. She
we're in our thoughts and
prayers. She'll be grinning right about now. She is my work wife, and I mean that with all the love in my heart, and she knows that. It's just funny. I could tell stories all day long about my work people that I work with, but she's one that's very special to me. But she was telling us a story today, and she said, I was on, and I'm going to quote her because I told her, I said, I'm going to say this because that's a good joke. She's like, I was on the Book of Face. So she's on Facebook, the Book of Face.
I like that.
And she follows a lot of baseball stuff. She played baseball in her younger years and in college. I always tease her. I'm like, oh, aren't you like a pitcher or something? And she's like, Sean, I was a shortstop. I've told you a million times I'm a shortstop. So I always change her positions just to make her mad. But she was a good ball player. And her son now who plays high school in Cedar Grove, and he is an excellent ball player.
Nice.
And going to play into college. So
oh, nice.
So anyway, she said she follows a lot of baseball pages, and one of them had a creepy story on it. And I was like, I'm going to use that if you don't mind. She's like, by all means.
Attack of the bat.
So this kid.
Attack of the bat.
Sure. Yeah. Right. Did you read the story already? This 9-year-old kid who loved baseball, wanted to play baseball, and he wanted his number to be 9. So he told his dad.
Hey, that's my number.
He wanted it to be 9. That's what all our kids want, 9 too, which is kind of funny. But this kid was 9, wanted the number 9, and he said, he told his dad, it's because I want to always be 9 years old. Okay? Mm. So first time up at bat, he hits it, runs to first base, has a seizure at first base.
Oh, gosh.
And dies. And will stay perpetually 9 years old. And it was, and I told her, I go, that's the most like heartwarming, horrible thing I've heard.
Horrific.
I know. I'm like, and I'm going to share it on the podcast because it's
so happily sad.
I go, where did you
expect that?
I really thought it was going to be a little more heartwarming than that, but it was very creepy. But it's so sad. But it's like the kid knew though. Love for baseball, wanted a certain number, wanted to stay a certain age. Because we were talking about just having seizures and, you know, and keeling over. And she's like, oh, God, that makes me think of a story. And I was like, that's terrible. Did you mean to bring down the mood? Yeah. So
thanks, Heather. So thanks, Sean.
No, that was Michelle.
I mean, Michelle.
Michelle.
No, sorry, Heather Gorgas.
And shout my sister. And my sister.
Sorry, Michelle.
No, she's...
Gosh, that's a
great... We're middle-aged and what again? No.
I'm middle-aged and forgetful.
That's funny.
I got all these names in my head. Oh, my gosh.
Who's Michelle?
Dementia.
Yeah, right.
I can't even remember.
Anyway, so thank you for that story. I thought it was a great story. It's a little bit like a, oh my gosh, that's awful. But
it is awful.
Enough that they shared it and like, it's, you know, I'm sure that's how they keep their son's memory alive. It wasn't my number.
It wasn't my number because I wanted to stay 9. It was my number because of Gordie Howe.
Oh, there you go.
Never heard of him.
And that's Wayne Gretzky. He was number 9 all growing up.
But before then 99.
All grows up.
But when he got into NHL, they wouldn't let him have the number 9, so he went 99.
Oh, well, there you go.
He's
like, fine, I'll take 2
he
of them.
Did okay.
Hockey
he did.
Facts.
Did he?
He did okay. Yeah, he did okay.
He's all
right. I don't know.
He's all right.
He scored a few goals.
a few assists.
Yeah,
that's you good. Jinx. Double jinx.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Michelle, telling Sean that. And Sean, thank you
for creeping us all out with it.
I'm really...
Yeah, like
I don't know if I should
so
be,
we don't have the like that just really brought down the energy, doesn't it?
That is so depressing.
Well, we've talked about in the past that like anytime you bring kids into it, it's like it was a real story that was relayed on one of these base because I was like, where did you hear this story? And she's like, on one of my baseball pages I follow. She goes, it was sweet, creepy, and sad all at once. Yep.
Well, thank you.
So thanks for that story.
Now we're
true story
go
out
here.
There.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, but anyway, so let's. The next thing is bringing us into this uplifting story. What? Oh, did you want to say something?
No, I was going to say, what are we going to talk about for episode 63?
63 is going to be about the Egyptian pyramids and the Sphinx. And I said it right that time, right? Sphinx?
Sphinx, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Not again, if you look...
Its full name is Sphincter.
Sphincter. Now, a sphincter says what?
Yeah.
So yeah, if the predictive text tries to help you out, it might help you with sphincter. It doesn't know what a sphinx is, but so we're going to start. Like we'll focus a little bit on the actual Egyptian pyramids. There's a lot of them, but I really wanted to focus on the pyramids of Giza and the Sphinx, obviously.
Yeah.
But to give kind of an overview of some of the Egyptian pyramids. The Egyptian pyramids are ancient masonry, structures located in Egypt. Sources cite at least 118 identified, quote-unquote, Egyptian pyramids, and approximately 80 pyramids were built within the Kingdom of Kush, now located in the modern country of Sudan. Of those located in modern Egypt, most were built as tombs for the country's pharaohs and their consorts during the Old and Middle Kingdom periods. So a lot of people that helped build them. And then I wanted to kind of switch over to the idea of the Giza pyramid. So it's called the Giza Pyramid Complex, is also called the Giza Necropolis, because you can't go wrong when you talk about necropolis, city of the dead, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is the site on the Giza Plateau in Greater Cairo, Egypt, that includes the Pyramid of Giza, the Pyramid of Khafre, and the Pyramid of Menkaure, along with their associated pyramid complexes and the Great Sphinx of Giza, all were built during the 4th dynasty of the Old Kingdom of Ancient Egypt. We remember those time periods, right?
Mm-hmm.
Between 2600 and 2500 BC, the site also includes several cemeteries and the remains of a worker's village.
Wow. Is that it? No, okay.
That's it. Okay. That's all I got.
Hmm.
So this is something that I, the reason that I picked, did I say this was my pick? I don't know if I did or not.
You did not.
This is my pick.
That's Sean's pick.
Yeah. This is one, ever since I was a kid, I mean, there are certain things that just fascinate you. There are, you know, life riddles, universal riddles that are just like, how was this done? We've talked about a few of them. Stonehenge is one that we talked about it. You know, we tried to talk about it at length. But I think the pyramids and the Sphinx go along with that. Like,
mm-hmm.
not only
it's always been one of my favorites,
right? So I thought that would be a great discussion. How, you know, we're not going to figure this all out in all this.
Oh no,
spoiler
we are.
Alert. Oh, we are. Okay, yeah, we are. Yeah. Okay, same with Stonehenge.
No pressure.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
It all
Merlin and the giants, right?
It all fits together.
Merlin and the giants come marching in, right? But not just the, like, the first question is, how in the world do they do this? There are lots of theories. Aliens makes the most sense.
Bigfoot.
But also, why? The why.
Bunch of big feet.
Bunch of big feet. Interdimensional beings.
Right.
I think, maybe you're right. Maybe we are going to figure this out. But those are the first questions to start with is how? Because this, it is masonry, right? They said limestone, and it is the way that these are put together. They are airtight, watertight seals. And it is, here's one thing that was posed to me when I was younger and that I could never figure out is, okay, so these are ancient structures. We don't know where they came from. They would have cost a lot of money. And even in those times to be able to construct, you know, at least the popular belief of how they were done. And, have you seen it tried to be recreated this day and age? Now, they do have pyramid, like glass structures, a little bit easier.
Yeah.
Paris, right? In Vegas and those kind of things. Those are fairly simplistic. But if you try to recreate pyramids around the world, of course, but certainly these, the specific pyramids in Egypt, I don't know if we could do it. You know, we have cranes and we have, you know, equipment that can lift a lot of heavy objects. But some of these stones and boulders were so heavy. It boggles my mind to think about how many deaths would have occurred, how much time that it took to do this, and just how they did it.
So I think, yeah, so you're saying that if we, I don't know if we say reenacted, but anyway, if we tried to build the pyramids ourselves, we couldn't do it without using our machinery, which they didn't have, obviously.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're saying. Well, yeah.
At least allegedly, right?
Yeah.
There are some people that think that there's no way, and they've tried, you know, people come in and try to, with the weathering and the fact that they believe it hasn't always been a desert. The Sphinx had to be undug. I mean, it was basically buried.
Yeah, it was buried.
So they had to, you know, to, it hasn't always looked like the way it looked, right? And we think about like Napoleon coming across the Sphinx, you know, like what the heck is this thing? You know,
yeah.
Where do I kick it? You know, kick it like kicking an old car tire. Is Sam saying hi? Sam has theories.
Daddy's irritating him.
He's like, Dad, let me sleep and pass gas.
I think he wants to go outside.
Oh,
aww.
I thought he was.
Yeah,
that's how he says that, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, so it is. It's one of those things. Like it took time to figure out that it was there.
Yeah.
And what it, you know, okay. And then immediately people would have been asking questions like, what is this? And where did it come from? You know, and that's
sure.
what they say that it probably, you know, they say a couple thousand years ago, 5,000 years ago, but other people say it could be 10, 12, 15,000 years ago. The last ice age, would have coincided with this. Maybe that it was technology pre, ice age. So we're talking, some people think tens of thousands of years. Other people say, oh no, it's much older than that. So we're talking ancient civilizations that we don't even know about. So this gets pretty kooky. This also gets into, Nikola Tesla talk, which we've briefly talked about him and kind of his, eccentricities. But he was fixated on the pyramids. We didn't talk about that too much in that discussion, but we'll touch on that a little bit here too. But there are so many, everybody has their own view of what this is. Is it some way of keeping, you know, is it an astrological way of representing something in the sky? Is it a way to keep time? Is it because people are like, well, it's a tomb. You know, a lot of the pyramids around that area, they found mummies in them.
Oh,
they're
yeah.
tombs.
And daddies too.
Mummies and daddies, right? We're going to have to cover that someday, right?
Mummies and daddies.
It's a great dad
it's
joke.
It's what I do.
It's a great dad joke.
It's
right?
what I do.
But the funny thing is these tombs do not have the inscriptions. that the other tombs did.
Oh, okay.
Why? Now, they did find it in, they found underground tombs or underground passages, passages. They've sent like cameras down in them to kind of figure them out a little bit more. They don't understand what those are for. Supposedly, there's conspiracy theories about, you know, that the Egyptian government or a certain faction of the Egyptian government or a secret knowledge society, whatever, knows exactly what the pyramids are, aren't telling, and they're not, they only let certain people into certain areas, and there's secret ones that they know about, but nobody else does. And so, and same thing with the Sphinx. They have secret passages underneath of it. There's also talk of it being, you know, energy systems that are connect the earth with the sky, you know, and astrologically. The Orion's belt, it lines up, the three pyramids line up very well. Hmm. And the whole, that part of the star map looks like the Giza Plateau. So Rachel's coming.
Hi, Rachel.
Rachel, you have to say hi now since you're here.
Hi.
Yeah. We're getting the whole Laux family on
Man,
here.
Man, I guess.
Parker's next.
Yeah, that's right.
Bye, Sam.
She's famous now.
She's like famous like famous, Amos.
That's right. You know, I did not know that there was that many pyramids.
Yes.
With you. I was ignorant on that stat.
Well, and it is. It's like, well, so if those pyramids were meant for burial and those were meant to honor the dead, and that was all, that goes into a whole nother thing about the Book of the Dead. You know, they believe, especially royalty, believed there is a certain way to live, there's a certain way to die, and your whole life is in preparation to die, and there is a certain way that you go about it, or your trip to the afterlife is not going to be good. I mean, it is all in the, there's a Rosetta Stone, basically, that the reason that we have the Rosetta Stone, and it was, you, once they cracked the Rosetta Stone, they could figure out all the inscriptions, and they could figure out how the Egyptians communicated. Without mm-hmm. that, they'd have no idea what all this hubbubaloo was or what the Book of the Dead was. So these things would be lost to us. So the fact that we figured that out was, you know, and I don't believe in coincidences, so I think it's meant to happen. But how, if we had that, that could have potentially been lost if we didn't have it, how many other lost societies or lost knowledge do we not have mm-hmm. about these things? So that's, there are so many holes in this discussion that it becomes frustrating, but it also becomes, I don't want to say it, fascinating.
Mm-hmm. There you go, fascinating.
Drop the mic.
Yeah, I didn't know there was like 80, whatever they said, pyramids. I knew there was more than just the three or four, you know, big ones, but I didn't know there was that many. So I learned something.
Some of them, they're so deteriorated that they just sort of look like a hill from distance.
Yeah, right. That's right. Well, yeah. And the other thing.
Can you imagine like the wind and the mm-hmm. sand is beating them down? That's kind of like the Sphinx where it just eats away from the, or eats the face away.
There are theories that, you know, in the pyramids of Giza that, can you imagine going through all this time and like, oh man, all these people are, they're grave robbers and they're taking our bodies. So, well, I know we built these, but I guess we won't put bodies in these. We'll figure out something else to do with them. Like, I don't think they put all this time in there to make it a tomb when it was never used for that. And that they, because they said what happened in a lot of these tombs is a lot of the mummies got robbed or their possessions because they wanted to be buried with even their animals. You know, animals had to go too because they were taking all their possessions over into the afterlife. And so they said, well, that's, they started burying them in underground tombs or caves to help protect them from the grave robbers. So, but I, you know, do you really, like I said, some of the most well-known pyramids on this planet, because they're all like, they're on mm-hmm. a lot of different continents. There are different types of pyramids.
The Mayans and
mm-hmm. Aztecs. So there are pyramids all over. And again, we've talked about ley lines in the past. These just happen to be on ley lines and they happen to be on energy centers in the earth. And again, I do think, you know, if we ever can start understanding the secret knowledge, are there people on this planet that probably know this knowledge? I don't know. I really don't. Mm-hmm. Honestly. But they're not telling. And so if we did figure that out, it would be, and maybe it's supposed to be a mystery. Maybe it's not supposed to be known, but right. Like I said, maybe it'll drive me crazy to my grave, but it is something since I was a kid, I thought, how is something like that possible? I've never seen the pyramids. Mm-hmm. I would love to go see them myself.
Oh, yeah.
My father-in-law went.
Did he?
He went on camelback. Yeah, he got to go over there. For his work, he's traveled all around. He's a machinist, and they've sent him to many countries around the world, Egypt being one. It was a few years ago. It was before COVID, but they when there was fighting going on there, and they took him out there, he had to have, I believe he had five guards, and they took them around Cairo and all this stuff. But you could, we were talking to him on the phone, and you could hear like bombs and gunfire in the background. And he's like, "Nah, I'm fine, no big deal." But it was, but he did. He went to the pyramids.
I would
pictures.
Be a little apprehensive. Wow, man,
I would love to do that though. And I told him, I'm like, I asked him, I'm like, "How? What is it?" And he's like, "It's indescribable. I mean, they're amazing structures, you know, and they're historic, and they really don't know." I mean, even the Egyptian people, like I said, are there are factions in the Egyptian people or government that might know, possibly. But do most of them, they don't know any more than we do, truly, but they're revered, just like, you know, a lot of people around the world revere, you know, a lot of different historical. This is, and the interesting thing about the pyramids is it is, there's the seven wonders of the world, right? And this is the Sphinx and the pyramids are the last of those seven wonders that we can still see. The rest of them have been destroyed throughout time.
Yeah, they said the pyramid of the, what was it, Khufu? Is that?
Mm-hmm.
Is, yeah, it's 2,000 years older than the, as far as like one of the seven wonders of the ancient world.
Isn't the Great Wall of China one of the wonders?
Mm-hmm. It is.
I believe so.
Or is it the eighth?
It might be the eighth. Well, let's look. I think there's ancient ones.
Mm-hmm.
There's no questions like that, Nate. We don't.
I know, because then I have to Google.
I know.
Like there's ancient world and there's the modern. I think I want to say. I think this the Great Wall of China, I believe, is considered a more modern one. Yeah. Great Pyramid of Giza, Hanging Gardens of Babylon, which are destroyed. Statue of Zeus, Temple of Artemis, Mausoleum of Halicarnassus, Colossus of Rhodes, and Pharos Lighthouse of Alexandria. All those have been destroyed. Mm-hmm. So those are, yeah. But yeah, Alex, I think the Great Wall of China, because there's the modern one, so I believe that is. Anyway,
but I know
answer that real quick.
The pyramids were defaced themselves. Mm-hmm. They used to be polished limestone. They said they shined in the sunlight.
That's right.
And a lot of that limestone is in all the old buildings in Cairo. They stole it off there to build Cairo.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I like this stat. Approximately 2.3 million blocks of stone, averaging about 2.5 tons each, had to be cut, transported, and assembled to build Khufu's Great Pyramid.
Well, and you think about
that is a lot of blocks, and that's
think
a
about
lot
the,
of heavy
the manpower that would have taken. And the you know they talk about
3,000 pounds.
I've seen pictures and video trying to recreate the idea of how this would have worked, stone by stone, bit by bit, year by year.
That's 3,000 pounds of stone.
Mm-hmm.
And they had 2.3 million.
How did they do that?
Insane.
That's why people talk about, well, they had knowledge of levitation. They had, it was an ancient civilization. It was, it goes back to the talk of Atlantis or otherworldly beings that were here, that were our overlords or where we came from or whatever. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of different ideas.
Yeah, I've seen one where they basically, as they built it, they buried it. That way they had a ramp system to get the next level stones up there.
Yeah.
And then once they erected the pyramid, then they pulled all the sand away from it and exposed the pyramid.
I'm trying to picture that. Okay.
Yeah, as they built, they kept covering up the sand
covering
so that
up,
you had a ramp.
Gotcha. That's, I don't know. Amazed.
Well, I think there's also the Sphinx itself is, again, there's compartments there and there's supposedly underground secret passageways and underground chambers that they don't, at least the common knowledge is not understood why they're there, what they are or what they have in them or anything like that. And also, like I said, people can't agree exactly how old it is because it looks like it was there at a time when it wasn't a desert. There's a lot of rain weathering. It's also been changed. The head of it looks like it's been changed and the nose has been taken off and it's been defaced. And so it's been through a lot over throughout history as well. So what did it originally look like? You know,
was it actually a lion?
Was it a lion? Right. Cause that's what it's got, the body of one, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the head of a man. So it's very strange.
It was a hyena. It was a hedgehog.
Could have been. It's very, anything's possible, right?
Hey, exactly. Exactly.
Now we figured that out in this podcast.
I like looking at the size of these things. So the Sphinx measures 73 meters or 240 feet long from paw to tail, 66 feet high from the base to the top of the head, and 62 feet wide at its rear haunches.
I know that's when you show people standing by the pyramids or the Sphinx, it just dwarfs them.
They look
you know,
like
if you get
ants.
Up on
they look like
paw.
Ants if you put
Gosh.
I know, it's crazy.
So yeah, I have, that is definitely, we talk about bucket lists and put that on the list. Going to the pyramids and with you guys would be awesome. Can you imagine though, trying to like stay there? And I mean, we talk about hauntings and ghost stories and things like that. I guarantee you there are tons of that there.
Did you say energy. Khafre was one of the three?
Yeah.
Okay. So it said that the archaeological evidence suggests that the Sphinx was created by ancient Egyptians of the Old Kingdom during the reign of Khafre, 2558 to 2532.
Yeah, you said Khufu. It sounded like Khafre, but yeah, Khufu is a very famous one, and King Tut and those kinds.
Khufu was the first one I was talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is Khafre. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so anyway, I thought you'd say, yeah.
You say potato, I say potato. Smythe and Smith.
Well, no, I mean, there's
no,
two.
No, they're different people, I know. Yeah. I know.
I was like, did I hear
them
that up?
I mean, no, my simple brain, though, I hear them and I think, okay. But yeah, they're different people.
And then there's Kevin. No,
and Kevin. That's inscribed on.
Grand Pharaoh Kevin. Kevin.
I shall call you Kevin.
That's up, man? Good.
What's up, bro?
Hey, Kev. shout out to all you Kevins out there.
Right.
Again, yeah, this is just like the pyramids. Like,
that goes back to amazing. Just how Gary are you? Remember when we said, right. how Gary are you?
Right.
Kevin.
Yeah, pretty impressive, I would say.
Well, they say
structures.
So the architects of ancient Egypt's monuments were far more purposeful in their proportions, measurements, angles, and equations than most modern day archaeologists credit them with. There's also the distinct possibility that these architects found a way to naturally harness electricity from the earth itself. So they think that's why they think it might be a portal or an energy system.
Oh, yeah.
Hollywood has tried to play with those ideas for a long time. Oh, yeah. You know, Stargate. Right.
Great movie, by the way.
So a mathematical code of the universe. While archaeologists, have long been infatuated, how about that, with the construction and grandeur of the Egyptian pyramids, the greatest mystery may have nothing to do with how these structures were precisely designed and crafted, but more how they were potentially used as powerful devices to generate electrical power. The Great Pyramid of Giza features both a shape and location designed to harbor mathematical constants. This same mathematical theory can be found throughout nature and across the universe. Nikola Tesla, told you we'd be bringing him up. Curling of the toes, remember? Who sought to tap into the electromagnetic currents of the earth to bring the world unlimited electrical power, was in touch with these same mathematical underpinnings. Like the pyramid builders, Tesla realized Earth is a magnetic generator spinning around two poles with the potential to generate limitless energy. In 1905, he filed a United States patent titled The Art of Transmitting Electrical Energy Through the Natural Medium, that conceptualized designs for a series of generators stationed in strategic sites worldwide that would collect energy from the ionosphere. With its two poles, Tesla saw the Earth as a massive electrical generator of limitless energy and designed generators based on the pyramid's design. So that's what, you know, his tower that he built, and that one that he tried to go out in Colorado and build too, and that never happened. They say that he was trying to use the same principles he supposedly had contacts with people from Mars and other planets, and you know, so there might be some psychosis there, but he really believed that he was trying to use the same technology that the ancients used to construct and harness electrical powers. I find that amazing. Again, maybe a little psycho. I was driving behind a Tesla this morning, and I kept thinking, maybe it's time to get a Tesla. Maybe that's the next car I should have. And I kept thinking, isn't it fascinating that Elon Musk used Tesla's name in honor of him, also, you know, as and the fact that he doesn't get a lot of credit out there in the scientific world, but it's starting to kind of turn around and, you know, shine a little bit of a different light. I think it's very cool. Yeah.
Yep.
That's a side note.
So I like the side note. Good,
yeah.
Good job.
Good job, Sean.
Good job.
I like the curses that go. You want to get into that yet?
Sure.
You know, the sub.
There's nothing like a good pyramid or Egyptian curse, right?
Yeah.
Was it the mummies that did it or the daddies?
Well.
Or was it a little bit of both?
Yeah, they, you know, and then the kiddies. You got the kids come.
There's a lot of kitties.
Kitties.
Yeah, a lot of cats. They like their cats.
They did. They did like their cats. That's right. They're yeah.
But Before we get to that too much, can I say one last thing that's interesting with some of these numbers I was looking through? I didn't want to go too deep in this, but the Great Pyramids has, looking at the Great Pyramids' latitudinal location on Earth, there are precisely 30, it's precisely on the 30th degree, halfway between the equator and the North Pole. It's also locked into the planet's true cardinal directions of north, south, east, and west, though there is very slight discrepancy of the 360th of the degree error. There, if you multiply the perimeter of the Great Pyramid, 3,024 feet by 43,200, you get the Earth's equatorial circumference. If you multiply its height, 481 feet by 43,200, you're left with the polar radius of the Earth. This number, 43,200, is relevant because it represents the axial precision of the Earth, or the way in which it wobbles on its axis. 43,200 is a multiple of 72, which is the number of years it takes for 1 degree of that wobble. The number 72 and 432 can be found in a number of ancient mythology, and sacred texts. You'll find these fascinating, then I'll be done. 72 is the number of languages spoken at the Tower of Babel. Interesting. 72, the number of names for God in the Jewish Kabbalah. 72, the number of temples at Angkor Wat, which is another ancient site. 72 is the number of degrees longitude between Angkor West and the Great Pyramid. And 432,000, the number of syllables in the Hindu Rig Veda. And 432 hertz, which sound frequencies are fascinating too. That's something we should cover someday, is the harmonic frequency believed to be the optimal resonance for music. There's also a theory that somewhere
along, what was
that? 432 hertz. Our music hertz that we listen to change too along the way. I don't know. I heard a wild theory, and I don't know if this is true or not, and it's a little bit of a sidebar again too, but that our music used to be healing because it was a set to a frequency of healing, and then they changed it to a different frequency. So now our music, even though it's good for our soul and we feel that power,
right.
The healing capabilities were somewhat altered in it. Again, I'm not that would be interesting for Nate to look into, because it's like, did they? And I don't know if that was the turn of the 19th century, but somewhere along the lines, I've heard that, and I never really explored it too much, but there's supposed to be healing powers and frequencies, but that goes along
with this. I've never
heard
that. So.
Interesting. I thought I'd bring that up.
I mean, it sounds kind of plausible.
It does, yeah. So anyway, I thought I'd put that out there because, again, Sean's stats are...
I'm not smart enough to know.
...are questionable. Well, again, I'm not a professional musician either, so I could be.
Yeah. All I know is a lot of times my whole body hurts. Speaking of,
it hurts. Yeah, it's a different
my
kind
back
of
hurts. My feet hurt. My neck hurts.
Action pain.
That's the problem.
Interesting.
Middle age.
Hey, I put these things
out
there.
That is actually. You wonder how? Like, did they change? Did it get changed? On like, I don't know. What I'm saying, like, if it affected us physically, like it had healing powers, did they just like, oh crap, what'd we do? Like, you know, what I'm saying where. They didn't mean to do that. I mean, if you knew that was
you would like to
case,
think that, right? Yeah, no, I would hope.
Then
not.
Why would they? Yeah,
you so don't then, know where. Like, why would you make some kind of a change like that? And I don't. This goes into in the early 1900s. They were trying to use healing techniques through sound. I do know that. I know that's a thing, and I know people still try to buy different tools that are supposed to be healing. Frequencies and I'm not again I can't really speak intelligently on that, but I do know that's a thing, and it goes back into changing the frequencies in our music. Again, we need to all look into that, don't we? But
okay.
I'm just bringing that up because I know that that's somewhere in the dark recesses of my brain.
You're talking about the hertz for music.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Did you find? I know like a lot of tuners. The standard now is 440 hertz.
Okay.
And what did you have?
432.
So this is saying 432 hertz versus 440 hertz tuning standards.
When did that change? Because and why? I don't like I said. I don't know why.
It is agreed that 440 hertz is an A fourth as our pitch standard for tuning. Chose 400 as standard for tuning in the modern music world, and the increasing prominence of 432. So yeah, I'm not exactly sure. 18th century is when they went to the A4th.
That's what I was thinking somewhere in there, but I said, I'm just totally pulling that out of my head. I didn't know exactly where this would go, so I honestly did not have anything like that pulled up.
That's interesting. Hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I never heard anything like that, but it makes sense. If it, yeah. Very, very cool.
Many symphonies in parts of Europe use 443.
Oh, that's interesting, too.
Boston Symphony Orchestra uses 441. New York Philharmonics uses 442. So, yeah, I mean, you just sort of find one that you like, but...
Yeah. I'd go straight to 500 myself.
But yeah,
that's right. That's
crank that sucker up, right?
You're going to go big. Again, yeah.
And here's the thing. From all that discussion was that common knowledge back then? Was that, you know, the frequency ideas and healing and energy sources?
Yeah, that's what this is saying.
Yeah, right?
432 contains universal and spiritual healing properties.
That's interesting.
Compared to aggravating and irritating properties of 440.
There were scientific studies and people trying to figure this out, and I think they were, I hate to say it again, this is conspiratorial, I know, but it goes back into trying to hamper things like Tesla, you know, like, we can't use your technology, that's way too highfalutin, that's not going to make any money, we can't do that, you know, we can't have people healing themselves, we got to give pills, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So, again...
Nothing's changed.
Nothing has changed, but... It does go back into that. If we did have that power and ability to heal ourselves, why would we allow that to be lost? I don't know. So again, it's kind of fun. It's aggravating. It's interesting. But
I think we need to mention it, to be honest with you.
I'm glad we brought
it. It is kind of part of the story.
It really is.
You know, I mean, there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah. It's something we're going to have to investigate. Yeah.
It's true. Yeah. I mean, there's, you know, like, I mean, there's, gosh, in recent years and recent decades, they said they've got, we could heal cancer. We could probably cure cancer, but you know, the medical world won't let it happen because then they would lose money.
I know. It's like, yeah,
but who knows?
I know.
That's just another conspiracy that
I know.
I wouldn't doubt it though.
I know. That's a rough one, isn't it?
Yeah, but I had never heard though the Hertz. I never heard of that.
Hertz donut. No.
Yeah, Hertz donut. I used to give a Hertz donut.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I knew when you're talking about the 432 or whatever.
I figured that would perk your ears up.
A lot of tuners, they'll tell you, you know, you're tuning to 440 Hertz.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Interesting.
So
to go, I know we kind of diverted off of the course. We were talking about the curses of the pharaohs.
Yeah.
So I was going to talk a little bit about
Curse them.
Curse of the pharaohs, or mummy's curse, is a curse allegedly to be cast upon anyone who disturbs a mummy in ancient Egyptian, especially a pharaoh. This curse, which does not differentiate between thieves and archaeologists, because it doesn't know the difference, is claimed to cause bad luck, illness, or death. Since the mid-20th century, many authors and documentaries have argued that the curse is real in the sense of having scientifically explicable causes such as bacteria or radiation. However, the modern origins of Egyptian mummy curse tales, their development primarily in European cultures, the shift from magic to science to explain the curses, and their changing uses from condemning disturbances of the dead to entertaining horror film audiences suggests that Egyptian curses are primarily a cultural, not scientific phenomenon. Boo, hiss, boo. I don't buy that.
Yeah. It says the belief in a curse was brought to many people's attention due to the deaths of a few members of Howard Carter's team and other prominent visitors to the tomb. Shortly thereafter, Carter's team opened the tomb of Tutankhamun,
or most famous, right?
King Tut, in 1923, launching the modern era of Egyptology. The famous Egyptologist James Henry Breasted worked with Carter soon after the first opening of the tomb. He reported how Carter sent a messenger on an errand to his house. On approaching his home, the messenger thought he heard a faint, almost human cry. Upon reaching the entrance, he saw the birdcage occupied by a cobra, the symbol of the Egyptian monarchy. Carter's canary had died in its mouth, and this fueled local rumors of a curse. Arthur Weigel, a previous inspector general of antiquities to the Egyptian government, reported that this was interpreted as Carter's house being broken into by the royal cobra, the same as that worn on the king's head to strike enemies on the very day the king's tomb was being broken into.
Oops.
And it said an account of this incident was reported by the New York Times on December 22nd, 1922.
Well, interesting. Like I said, the hieroglyphics, they weren't actually able to be deciphered. So if you were, like I said, if you back in the day, it was very risky to mess with this stuff because they were, you know, like I said, the Book of the Dead was something that was very believed in, well preserved, and something, you know, you were preparing to die, right? Especially as royalty, you wanted to keep this party rolling into the next life.
Sure.
And so it's interesting. But when we were, you know, discovering these things, we're like, oh, this looks good. Let's just take this back to the museum in England, you know. So it says hieroglyphs were not deciphered until the early 19th century. So reports of curses before this are simply perceived bad luck associated with handling of mummies and other artifact tombs. In 1699, Louis Pincher wrote an account in which he recorded how a Polish traveler bought two mummies in Alexandria and embarked on a sea journey with the mummies in the cargo hold. The traveler was alarmed by reoccurring visions of two specters, and the stormy seas did not abate until the mummies were thrown overboard. Get rid of them. And then they used to sell, there's pictures, like old pictures of guys, you know, like with, it looks like two dead bodies wrapped up next to them, and like, mummers for sale. They're just selling them like, you know, old artifacts. But talk about mummies' curses,
no,
you know.
No,
like,
thanks.
Yeah, but they would. They would sell them.
Yeah, creepy. They have a list of people that passed away shortly after they opened King Tut's.
Yeah, it gets very spooky.
Yeah, go ahead.
George Herbert, he's 5th Earl of Carnarvon, financial backer of the excavation, who was present at the tomb's opening, died on 5th of April, 1923, after a mosquito bite became infected. He died 4 months and 7 days after the opening of the tomb. Then there was George J. Gould, the first, a visitor to the tomb. He died in the French Riviera on the 16th of May, 1923, after he developed a fever following his visit. A. C. Mace, a member of Carter's excavation team, died in April 1928, having suffered from pleurisy and pneumonia in his final years. Captain the Hahn, Richard Bethel, Carter's secretary, died on the 15th of November, 1929, died in bed in a Mayfair club, the victim of a suspected smothering.
Ooh. Oh, wow.
And Howard Carter opened the tomb on the 16th February, 1923, and died well over 16 years later on the 2nd of March, 1939. However, some have still attributed his death to the curse.
So that was a lot later, but still had something to do with it. I mean, it's,
I think it's interesting that they also, you know, in that story that we were talking about, that they bring up the idea of bacteria or viral processes or radiation that also, like, if you open some of these things, you're going to get some old gunk, basically.
Yeah, you're right.
And you can easily get that in your lungs and die. And they're like, oh my gosh, I got cursed.
It has nothing to do with the curse.
Exactly. But you can see how people are scared of that. Or, like I said, radiation, which, again, what the heck's radiation doing around here? But there's some of these sites that do have, like, radioactive type, you know, like, areas. And it is like, where did that radiation come from? I mean, they're natural ways for radiation to occur on the earth, but other ways it's begged questions of, you know, was there nuclear wars before, or, you know, God forbid, world wars or whatever, or intergalactic wars too, that has brought forth some of that stuff. That's
where they find something
that is really
active,
that's really out there, but
that they like mixed in the paint to make the paint look nicer.
Well, right.
Last longer,
right. That's that brings it back down to earth a little bit more. But
I wanted to read this, spurring off of what you just said, like reading all the people that had possible curses affected them. This name pops up every once in a while, or has. Sir Arthur Conan Doyle.
Who's that?
Hmm?
What?
He is the drummer of...
No. We got to just cover him just for... we've mentioned him so many times.
I know. He's the creator of Sherlock Holmes. He suggested that Lord Carnarvon's death has been caused by elementals created by Tutankhamun's priests to guard the royal tomb.
Yeah.
And, this further fueled the media interest. Arthur Weigel, if I'm pronouncing it right, reported that 6 weeks before Carnarvon's death, he had watched the Earl laughing and joking as he entered the king's tomb and said to a nearby reporter, "I give him 6 weeks to live." The first autopsy carried out on the body of Tutankhamun by Dr. Derry found a healed lesion on the left cheek, but as Carnarvon had been buried, he had been buried 6 months previously, it was not possible to determine if the location of the wound on the king corresponded with that fatal mosquito bite on Carnarvon.
Interesting. Hmm. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Anyway, that's...
Don't mess with him.
Who knows?
I would say stay away from him, right?
Yeah.
It is. It's wild. I mean, there's all, like I said, I am a scientific person. I love to think and postulate all these crazy thoughts. And who knows, though? You just don't know. And that's what makes it, I can sit here and I can spin in some of these wild, fantastic conspiracy and interdimensional beings and aliens and all these things. But man, it is, when you look into the history, and I'm not, you know, there's an agreed upon idea of how this history has happened, but it's still, I don't think we truly know 100% that this is absolutely correct. I mean, even our history now, we're finding like, that wasn't quite right. Ooh, I didn't know about, you know, so that ancient, it's hard to truly say.
Mm-hmm.
This is exactly what we know.
I've heard some people speculate that it's sort of like a roadmap for alien spacecraft.
True. Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah. Same with Stonehenge, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're getting Merlin and the Giants back in here, right? Come on, Merlin. Come on, Giants. Let's go. Let's have a talk.
Is that a gurgle? Is that me?
It was a gurgle.
I think I did. Was it you? I think it was me. I hadn't done that in a while.
Call you out on the gurgle.
yeah, I don't know. I have heard that, though. Yeah. It's a. Yeah, for the aliens, I don't know. Alien spacecraft, I should say.
Yeah. I know I keep mentioning it, but I wanted to kind of just give a little bit of a brief overview because I think it's interesting is this whole idea of the Book of the Dead and how important it was. It goes into all of this kind of idea of their fixation and fascination, the Egyptians, here's an interesting note, and we're going to talk about this a little bit more with the Grimdark girls, too, and next time we talk to them, I mentioned that there was no blue in ancient times. The only civilization that has records that mention blue, the color blue, the Egyptians. Mm-hmm. Now, I talked to my wife about this too, because she's like, what? And I told her, I said, I'll give you guys a little sneak peek, is that there wasn't that blue didn't exist. It's just that we didn't perceive it. So was our world colorless? No. Were the colors muted more? Yes. Because our brains hadn't gotten those colors. They were mixing, like blues look like grays and all this kind of stuff. So those colors that are described in ancient texts, like I said, are normally reds, browns, you know, they had gold, but the world isn't as beautiful, like Hollywood paints it as this beautiful multicolored universe. Well, but our ancestors probably did see a lot in duller colors, and blue was never described again except for by the Egyptians. And I think that's interesting. They didn't even have a word for blue.
Maybe it was, though.
So, I'm sure. I know it exists. That's why I said it existed.
When did fuchsia?
Fuchsia.
When did, I just have, like pink.
Let's ask.
When did pink come along?
This is where we need Crayola. Crayola, yeah, please call us and tell us. Yeah, there's lots of colors, right? I find that interesting because that's my favorite color. So, but the the Book of the Dead is an ancient Egyptian funerary text generally written on papyrus and used from the beginning of the New Kingdom around 1550 BCE to around 50 BCE. The original Egyptian name for the text, translated to something I cannot even start to say, is translated as Book of the Coming Forth of the Day, Book of the Emerging Forth into the Light. So it's not really seen as death. It's seen as stepping into the light. Is closest term to describe the loose connection of text consisting of a number of magic spells intended to assist a person's journey through the Duat, or underworld, and into the afterlife, and written by many priests over a period of thousands of years. You were given this text, and it was supposed to go with or on your dead body. And there's this, you can look at awesome pictures of the detail of the process of going through the Book of the Dead. There's a scene that shows the papyrus of Hunfer showing the scribe of Hunfer's heart being weighed. So you had to weigh your heart with a feather. And if the feather and the heart, so it's weighed on a scale of Mott against the feather of truth by the jack-headed Anubis. These are all things that we'd take hours to explain. The ibis-headed Thoth describes, or a scribe of the gods,
records the result. So if the heart equals exactly the weight of the feather, you are allowed to pass into the afterlife. If not, he eats it by the weight. It is eaten by the waiting chimeric. We've talked about chimera before. Devouring creature, Amit, composed of the deadly crocodile, lion, and hippopotamus. Wow. So it's complicated. And you don't want to have your heart eaten, I don't think. No, that's probably bad.
No.
That chimeria, it comes from the gargoyle talk, where it was the combination of two or more animals. Yeah. So okay, I think that's interesting. But that goes back into ancient Egypt, too.
Pyramids of Giza, one of the most well-known haunted places in Egypt.
Yeah, see, I told you.
People have seen floating ghosts and walking ghosts.
Oh.
Some have seen ghosts wearing clothes from the early 20th century. People have also seen few Egyptian pharaoh there scaring away the people from the pyramids, once which they owned earlier. Residents nearby have reported screamings around their residence and voices instructing them to leave the place.
Wow.
Hmm. Okay. I'm leaving. Okay. I got it. Yeah, I was wondering about, you know, we're talking about all the ancient, stories and everything that goes with it. But, I didn't even think about, like, current hauntings or, you know, like what people are experiencing
today. Isn't that
today
interesting, though? Like I said, there's got to be some out there.
Yeah, very much, yeah.
I thought these are a couple interesting things about pyramids. They weren't all pointed. I think that's interesting to note, which the Great Pyramid of Giza doesn't have its capstone, right? Most pyramids were built west of the Nile. Let's see what the other ones. They're disappearing on me. We're still figuring out how... Oh, gosh, I hate pop-up ads, by the way, just so you know. We're still figuring out how they were built, which we've been talking about that at length. The Egyptians used astronomy to guide construction, which we've also been talking about that at length, too. They weren't built by slaves, although that is still a common held belief, but it says the long-held theory that the pyramids were built by slaves might not actually be true. It was the Greek historian Herodotus who helped spread the idea that slaves built the pyramids through his writing. It's a concept that, when propagated by Hollywood, but it may not be true. In the 1990s, the graves of the pyramid builders were discovered. Egyptologists are quite sure they were not slaves, but rather builders who came from lower income families. That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Great Pyramids can tell time, again, with the way they're astrologically set up. Archaeologists are still uncovering the mysteries of the pyramids, which is, again, that is high. That's, if we're highlighting anything about this, we don't know everything about it. There are still so many mysteries to uncover. And again, somebody out there know? Very possible. We'll tweak your interest with that, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
If you hear this out there, we would love to know. We won't tell anybody, we promise. We've made that promise many times.
They said they see, like, the pharaohs that haunt the pyramids.
Of course,
many eyewitnesses report they have recorded a man and his three children dressed in clothes typical of the 1920s roaming around the Great Pyramids looking for something. As we are telling a ghost story here, we're going to assume that he's searching for his wife and mother of his children. Says the much creepier story surrounding the haunting of the pyramids is the emergence of the ghost of the pharaoh. Here he is again, Khufu himself, who is the proud owner of one of them, dressed in traditional ancient Egyptian armor. He appears at midnight and walks the streets, visiting houses and telling their inhabitants to leave the area. Like
Isn't
Nate was
something?
Saying,
yeah.
If ghosts have unfinished business to linger around, then Khufu has been very patient for many millennia.
That's wild.
Isn't that would be weird.
When you're around Khufu, don't be a foo-foo.
Don't be a foo-foo.
And offer him some tofu. Wait a minute. No, I don't know. I don't know. That would be a little intimidating, a little scary, having a pharaoh.
I know we didn't. Yeah. I know we can't.
Come on, get out of here now.
This could take us multiple parts and multiple hours to talk about this stuff in detail, of course. So, again, we're just trying to spark your interest. But
we got three more hours.
Three more. Go, good. the Sphinx, I wanted to mention a couple things about it, too. Again, was it built when the pyramids were? Was it something that was there before? Was it after? Is it in coordination? Is there symbology?
I always had it in my head that it was built after.
Me, too. That's what I think, too, but I don't know.
Because they said it's like to guard the pyramids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But was
so
it,
I'm,
was
so
the idea,
head, I'm thinking
is
maybe
it combined? Is it not? I don't know.
It used to be alive.
Used to be.
Yeah, Medusa went there. And
Medusa. we're getting into some fun stuff, right? So the Sphinx, this is called the name game. The Sphinx is an alias created by the ancient Greeks. When the statue was already centuries old, the early name was, here we go, Horm-im Akhet, meaning Horus is the horizon. Horus is the Egyptian god of the sky.
It's heard a that.
Test of time. Out of the seven wonders of the ancient world, only the pyramids of Giza and the Great Sphinx are still standing. So I thought I had that right. Color me mysterious. It says it was originally painted in garnish comic book colors like red. Traces of the pigment can still be seen by its ear of what it originally looked like. I've seen photographic representations of what they think it looked like. Close shave. The Sphinx originally sported a beard, which eventually crumbled. A piece of its stubble is displayed in the British Museum in London. I did not know this until I was looking at all this. Secrets. Legends say the library of the sunken island of Atlantis is stowed beneath the Sphinx. This is fantastic.
Oh, boy.
With an entrance near its right paw. So let's just go. Nothing has been found, according to bemused archaeologists. Nose job, which we're talking about this one, too. Contrary to popular history, Napoleon's cannonballs did not shoot off the Sphinx's nose. The evidence suggests the nose was intentionally cleaved off at least 300 years before the little corporal invaded Egypt in 1798.
Little corporal. Yeah, before the little guy.
They say he wasn't. Sure he is they little. Say he wasn't. They say that Stalin was shorter than Napoleon.
Even death, he can't get a break.
I heard recently that Stalin was shorter than Napoleon. So Napoleon's not, for his.
Because he was like 5'4", I think.
But in that time, that was an average Frenchman. So they said that he really wasn't that short, at least in the scheme of his history, you know, his historical time and his
country. Did you say was supposed to be shorter than
Stalin?
Wow.
Which, yeah. So think about that. We don't think of Stalin as being short, but that's what I heard recently anyway. And it says, pyramid scheme. If you don't like the Saharan sun, try booking a seat for the sound and light show at night when desert temperatures are cooler. The program bathes the Sphinx and pyramids in vivid colors as the narrator relays their history. That would be interesting to see.
Yeah.
And cool. Also has the Great Sphinx has a Facebook page that you can visit anytime. So Facebook it.
Well, I heard it had more of a face. I heard it had more of a Facebook, but it's dwindling down.
The ears are drooping.
Eroding away.
I'm cracking myself up. I don't care what. Sorry, creepies. I
used to be middle aged. Now it's just old. It's old. Yeah, it's ancient. Just,
yeah. Todd's over there sandblasting.
Yeah,
I have to say, this was a fun. I knew this was going to be a fun discussion, but I had no idea it was going to be this fun. We brought up a lot of good stuff.
There's the.
Show?
Yeah.
Yeah, so look that up, guys. That's really cool.
I'll have to maybe post a picture.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I like the haunted stories.
Too. I do too.
How old it is. I mean,
oh man,
sure there's hauntings around there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. So
Fishizzle.
Sean, you put that on our list, right?
Of course. Giza? This is on my list since I was a boy, a little boy. So
it's got to be official.
It's on an official. It's on an official list. Then,
not
yes.
The Sean list, but the podcast.
I've got two or three separate lists over here.
Yeah. See, we'll go to Turin and go to Giza, and we'll go to
Malta.
Malta, California.
You know it.
Yeah, that was interesting. That was
It was fun. And we'll have we brought up a bunch of things that I'm sure we'll visit and revisit and hash out a little bit more later, but yeah, that was fun. That was a lot of fun.
Oh, Conan O'Doyle, he gets in there every once in a while.
Oh, yeah.
So does your boy Tesla.
Yeah, Tesla. Oh, I love him. I'll insert him anywhere I can.
I'm surprised he didn't get you know who we need to bring? Motel. Oh, you know what? Tesla.
I'm surprised that Saint Germain didn't come up.
He wired the room.
Saint Germain didn't come up in this.
He did all the outlets.
I'm sure Saint Germain has a story to connect.
He
connected throughout history. I'm sure he's connected to the Egyptians. So.
Yeah. And then
Saint Germain?
And then Kevin Bacon. See, he's the one. That's,
6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, so he's Saint Germain.
Related to all of them.
Yeah. Malta, Turda. Yep, the whole thing. Yep. The whole kit and caboodle. And Tesla.
Anything else, guys, to
I don't think so.
Mention about the Sphinx or the pyramids themselves?
Pyramided out.
Yeah, I liked it.
That was fun.
Well, good job. Yeah, good job.
All right, so this
good
one.
Good job.
So what do you got for the.
Well, so with this one, we did two. Since we're doing two recordings tonight, I thought I'd do a dark side. And this, you know, with The Shining. And with this talk, I felt like it was more of we could do a middle-aged moment with it. Mm-hmm. And I've been holding on to this song for a minute. And I felt like just the appropriate time, I would know when to use it. Steve Winwood.
Walk
anybody
like
know
an
Steve?
Egyptian.
Steve Winwood.
I love Steve Winwood.
I do too. Now I have a quick, real funny story before I share this. My grandmother, an old picture of hers, I'll have to show you sometime. I won't post it on Facebook. But my brother Chad always used to say that her picture, and she has this hairdo, and it looks like Steve Winwood back in the 80s. And she's always like, "Remember that picture of Grandma when she looked like Steve Winwood?" Her face does not look like Steve Winwood so much, okay, but her hairdo. Yeah, I know. She'd be like, "God, was your grandma that ugly?"
Really?
No offense,
Steve.
Not
ugly.
Not exactly.
My grandma to look
but
like
you wouldn't exactly. So I wanted to preface that with it was the hairdo that made her look, and just the way she looks, it's like okay.
Wow.
I'll have to show you sometime.
So you didn't pick up my song.
What'd you
say?
I didn't think you did.
I didn't.
I've been holding on to the song for the perfect moment. I was like, "Walk like an Egyptian."
Oh, I didn't even think of that for this one. Oh, okay.
I don't
Let's
get it. Nate.
Edit this. Edit. No. I'm changing it. So I'm going to do "Walk like an
Nate's
Egyptian."
Like, I nailed that. That's
yeah.
awesome.
Yeah. How did I?
But boneheads can't even. Hear
so
I nailed it, and you guys just trampled right all over.
You know how many things I listen to and I'm like, oh my gosh, I totally missed Nate saying that. Or
Why
I totally missed Todd
you saying
that.
Period.
I didn't either. I missed it. Well, that was,
you know,
I'm glad that you.
Yeah, you guys missed it. That's why
I'm
bring
just,
it up again.
I'm running up this trail over here that you guys are like, hey, Sean, Sean, we're over here. So this is Higher Love. And I felt like.
Love
with,
that song.
With this,
one of my favorites.
With this talk. Can and all it? Of this talk. Go for it. Yeah.
Bring me a higher. No, I'm kidding.
With this talk. It is. There's so many questions. There's so much. But to me, it keeps bringing me back to where we come from. Where are we from? And I know that everybody people have different views, but different religious beliefs. But there, to me, in my belief, there is a higher love out there. And I love how Steve Winwood's lyrics show that. And I think it's good to reconnect back to that. So think about it. I'm going to have to sing it, right? There must be higher love down in the heart or hidden in the stars above. Without it, life is wasted time. Look inside your heart. I'll look inside mine. Things look so bad everywhere. In this whole world, what is fair? We walk blind and we try to see, falling behind in what could be. Bring me a higher love. Bring me a higher love. Where's that higher love I keep thinking of? Worlds are turning and we're just hanging on, facing our fear and standing out there alone. A yearning, and it's real for me. There must be someone who's feeling for me. Things look so bad everywhere. In this whole world, what is fair? We walk blind and we try to see, falling behind in what could be. So bring me a higher love, of course. And this says, I will wait for it. I'm not too late for it. Until then, I'll sing my song to cheer the night along. So I could light the night up with my soul on fire. I could make the sunshine from pure desire. Let me feel that love come over me. Let me feel how strong it could be. So goes into the bring me a higher love. And I won't go into all that. But it's just a beautiful song. And if you ever need a lift, that's it. So, but it also, but I felt like some of those lyrics go back into the stuff we're talking about too, you know. We're, as humans, we're always looking for where do we come from? What are we connected to? How do we find our center? How do we find our connection to each other? And a song like that helps us. It truly does. It makes me, I see these pyramids and I see a miracle is what I see. And I see God in this.
So
you know?
I know where I came from. I know where I'm going. It's
right.
The middle part.
It's that middle part, right?
And
hey,
it's
man,
the
brother.
Part I, oh, Todd has
I,
a problem.
I agree. I know.
Right. No, yeah. I love that song.
Good.
Always
glad
have.
You liked it.
And it takes me back to the 80s, like my freshman, sophomore year, 86,
yeah,
87
yeah.
when it came out. Oh, yeah.
So did that Walk Like an Egyptian.
Yeah, I think that was 86 or 87.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The Bengals?
Yes.
Yep. Yeah. The Bengals. All girl group.
Not the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah.
That's the Bengals. Bengals.
Yeah.
That was yeah. Good. Well, good. Thanks, Sean. I like that. That was a good
there's
pick.
Also, if you want to listen to Steve Winwood's version, is fantastic. His daughter's version is Lily Winwood. Oh my gosh, it's fantastic. You should. It's an acoustic version. I think she played whatever, but it is a different sound.
Okay.
But she's a beautiful girl, by the way, and she's performed with him too. But she does her own thing. She writes her own music, but she does a version of that. That is, it will kick you in the feels in
nice.
A good way.
Okay.
Well, if there is a good way to be kicked in the field.
And Steve Winwood looked like his grandma. That's great.
That's right. Yeah. What have we learned today? Sorry, Grandma. I love you.
She's like, what?
She's a great woman. She's hitting me in the back
of
the head right
you.
Now.
So what else we got?
We have the second part of the announcements, which we want you to connect with us through our email address, and that is makopodcast@gmail.com, two A's. We do these things called Tuesday Terrors. They are under 3-minute stories for us to connect to you and say hi and... just as a thank you, honestly, too. But it's a weekly touch point, right?
Mm-hmm.
To be able to say hello. We're enjoying them.
No, I just like scaring the crap.
I love it. Oh, I'm getting some
creepy.
My stories are getting creepier and creepier, and so we're tired.
I need to write. I haven't written one in
ooh,
a while.
You got to. Yeah, yours are good. When
I've got a couple in my
bacon.
Creepy. They're
about done.
I haven't finished the story.
Are they at 500 degrees?
Yeah.
You haven't finished the story?
Yeah.
Don't finish the story. Isn't that the point?
We're on Thursday, and we never finish the story.
Until
it comes around Tuesday.
Yep.
yeah. We are on all listening platforms. Whatever platform you like, pick it. Go listen to it. Tell everybody you know. Word of mouth is wonderful.
And yes.
Give us a 5-star rating and a review while you're at it. We really appreciate that. We don't just ask for that because we're trying to be annoying. We do it because it helps to boost the show. It helps us to stay here. It helps us to get this little tiny show going and growing and into a teenage show, someday a middle-aged show and a mature adult show. That might be a little too deep.
No.
It's pretty accurate.
I always say if you're already listening to the podcast,
while you're there in the neighborhood.
If you've got iTunes, tap that 5-star.
Right.
And type a quick review.
Just do
it. You don't have to do a long story. Just say, the best you've ever heard.
Right.
No, just something. Something nice.
Even emojis. We'll take emojis.
Yeah. But a lot of the
nice emojis
podcast apps, you can at least rate. And there are more than just iTunes. There are a few more that you can review.
Absolutely.
And I can't remember. But I've seen 3 or 4, apps. So anyway, we appreciate it. Just listening. That's the main thing.
Absolutely.
But you can, you can do wonders by just, helping future creepies.
You'll make our day if nothing else, right?
Yeah.
The other thing and the last thing I want to say is merch for sale. Got our logo on just about anything. Mm-hmm. We can get it for you.
Merch here.
Come get you some. Go get you some. Whatever you want, however you want to look at it.
Remember the guy?
Did you say Indians my game? Chair?
You remember the guy at the Indians games? He'd go, cold beer, cold beer.
Cold beer over here.
And growing up, I love that guy. Merch here, merch here.
We got
merch here.
People are like, I don't know. I love when you listen to other podcasts and they do like local, stories or whatever. And, as a listener, you're like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Yeah. So it's my chance to get
no idea.
Yeah, we do. We have some really cool merch.
We do.
Yeah. I forgot to post today on Facebook. They were having another 35% off. That's a good sale because they'll do like 20.
It'll be back
30,
around by the time you listen to this. It'll be back around
in a few
again.
Days. But actually, they haven't had for a couple of weeks.
So. Oh, is that right?
Yeah, because I get emails and texts. That's how I know.
Okay.
So I haven't got one in a while until today. But that's right. Yeah, but you know what? A lot of times they last a couple of days. Like they'll do like a 48-hour or 72-hour. Mm-hmm. We got some cool things. So
coolio.
Anyway, Nate, brother, what do you got for us, man?
I sphinx we're done with this episode.
Whoa.
That's a wrap.
Yeah, I was wondering where you were going with that.
Very delicate. Very delicate around that comment.
I like it, and you are correct, sir. So, creepies, as always, thank you for listening to us. We love bringing this creepy stuff to you, and we love you joining us for all these creepy episodes. Thanks for joining us for episode number 63 on discussing the Egyptian pyramids. Almost said Egypt. Egyptian pyramids and the Sphinx.
Sphinx.
Not the sphincter. And
good
until,
job.
Yeah, thanks. And until next time.
Dirty place.
Dirty Hey, I'm going to try to get through this, okay? And until next time, Nate is your sound engineer. And we are your hosts, Todd and Sean. And we are middle-aged.
And creeped out. Keep it creepy.